Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast brought to you by Tab Touch. Today, is Nick Knapp worth $2 million? Etihad Stadium renamed after superheroes. All the plaudits for Dane Beams, and we give you our tips on all the games, including Hawthorn West Coast and Freo North Melbourne.
That was out of bounds!
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant. Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is... Oh, that's what it is.
The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Yes, just when you thought it was safe to get back on the internet, it's Thursday morning. It's time for the second edition this week of the Duff and Quarters podcast. With me in the studio, I have Glenn Quatermain, the sports editor of the Sunday Times. I am Mark Duffield, the senior football writer of the West Australian newspaper. Quarters.
Duff, never safe on the internet, mate. Never safe on the internet.
No,
that's going to get when you go surfing the internet.
Yes. Some pleasure and some pain.
You know what I found when I surfed the internet this morning?
Oh, I give up.
Etihad Stadium being renamed for 8-year deal, Marvel Stadium. I love it.
There are some good synergies there, I have to say. You know, superheroes, footballers, running around.
Clearly, look, it's a Melbourne stadium. Clearly, there's only one person who can open that, who can cut the ribbon when they rename it.
Who's that?
Rene Kink. The Incredible Hulk.
The Incredible Hulk.
So named by the late Lou Richards, cult hero of Collingwood and everyone else in the 70s and 80s. He was a hairdresser.
He was a hairdresser.
Who used to go out there on a Saturday afternoon with his big body and just crunch blokes, and he was called the Incredible Hulk, and he should open the stadium.
If you were doing one of those quiz questions where you had to match the player with the occupation, I reckon you would have struggled to get that one unless you had inside knowledge.
Yeah, even as a kid, I scratched my head over that one. It didn't fit the stereotype.
I met Rene Kink in a cafe, Don Camillo's.
I've been there. It's a great restaurant.
Footy Central, they used to call it.
Yeah.
Where all the football people used to go to gossip.
So North Melbourne Italian restaurant.
Yes.
Yes.
And I had a conversation with Rene, and I have to say, I can't imagine having him with a pair of scissors in his hand, hovering over you, making light chatter.
No, he had a crack, and he was a good player to watch, Rene. Never got that flag, played in a lot of losing grand finals.
So here's a question. Which famous Collingwood full forward inherited Rene's number?
Geez, that's a good question. What was he, 36? Is
he
that
was 36.
Right? Savrocca. Yeah, okay, good. Good, I'm not losing it. That's good. And look, a bit of other news around, mate. Again, a bit of internet action this morning. Nick Knapp, is he worth $2 million? In the West Australian this morning, I should say, too. But Nick Knapp, is he worth $2 million? List manager Chris Pelchin suggests that he's worth about $800 to a million a year, but that we should reintroduce franchise players into the competition as they have overseas. And if we were to do so, he would be worth at least $2 million. So another million in marketing.
I like the idea of a franchise player.
So do I.
I think it's one thing that can gut a club is if they lose the player. So the classic example next year is going to be if Tom Lynch walks on Gold Coast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is left of that football club if that happens there. And so I like the idea of a club being able to throw the kitchen sink at one player and retain him.
I'm going to rephrase that, when Tom Lynch walks from Gold Coast. But I like the idea of a franchise player as well. And I also like the idea of some form of a, I'm not sure if discount's the right word, but for the original club of a player, it's often very, very difficult to match the offer. When it's a free agency situation, and I like the idea of an original club being able to hang on to a player. I like the romance of it still.
So if we like the idea of it, then I guess it comes down to price. Is Nick Natanui a $2 million player?
He's not a $2 million player on field, because no one is, in my opinion, but he's definitely worth $2 million in terms of playing and marketing. There's no doubt he's worth every bit of a mil to the Eagles' marketing.
You reckon?
Oh, he's a marketing machine.
I'm not sure we don't overstate this, and I think that if you look at on-field performance being the main driver of a club's marketability, and the example I would use is St Kilda. St Kilda in the Ross Lyon era, where they were basically premiership contenders every year, and they were putting massive bums on seats at Etihad, soon to become Marvel Stadium.
Yes.
And you know, we all remember the 2009 clash with Geelong, round 14, when Michael Gardner took the mark and kicked the goal. There was 54,000 people in the house that night. If you played St Kilda versus Geelong now, even though the Cats are still strong, you would probably struggle to get 30,000 in the house. I think on-field performance is your major driver of your marketability. So I would say Nick Nat is worth $1.5 million a year. I struggle to get to $2 million.
Yeah, I think there are rare exceptions. For whatever reason, Nick Nat, he's just interesting and intriguing, and kids love him.
Yeah.
And they gravitate to him. So, yeah, he's a wholesome sort of guy too, which helps the brand. And I think that's why I'd have him up there. I just think the marketability. I agree with you on Fields, that's the main driver. But I think don't underestimate the off-field side of it too these days.
Yeah, okay.
I don't reckon there's too many Nick Nat numbers hanging in the shop, put it that way, at the West Coast shop. I reckon there's pretty well a restock every couple of weeks.
Yeah, and before him, there was Ben Cousins wearing it.
Exactly,
It's probably number nine. It's probably been a pretty...
Who was nine before Cuz?
Peter Wilson.
Oh, yes, great.
I think Braden Lyle.
Yeah, he was too. Yeah.
Before Peter Wilson.
So. And the other news coming from this week was Dane Beam's decision to relinquish the captaincy, struggling with mental health issues over the recent passing of his father, has been widely applauded, and I'm going to add to that. I just think it's a very brave step. It's the right step. Brisbane's handled it beautifully, and he's handled it well, and I think it's the right decision, and good luck to him. I hope eases his stress a bit, and he's able to sort of play some good footy over the next few months.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's a big responsibility comes with being a captain, and that responsibility would be no less and possibly more so in a developing market like Queensland. You'd be expected to do a lot of things, and they're not just about playing good football on the field. They'd be about driving the brand and the club off the field. And I think if Dane doesn't feel like he's able to give that at this particular point in time, I think absolutely the right choice to step back from it and just try and get his feelings and his life back in order again. Just another reminder, Quarters, that football may be important to a lot of people. It's not life and death.
No, it's not. Absolutely not. Except when Hawthorn's playing. We better get in some tips on Friday. Etihad Stadium or Marvel Stadium, soon to be Marvel Stadium. Collingwood v. the Western Bulldogs. Interesting game this. Dogs have won their last five against the Pies. Pies in good form, won five of their past seven. And isn't Dugowie probably the form player of the competition at the moment? Pies are the number one disposal team. Interesting here that young Ed Richards will be playing for the Dogs against the team. He's a descendant of Lou Richards and grew up barracking for the Pies, so he'll be playing half back there for the Dogs. Look, I'm picking Collingwood, I think, on form. Resting Wells, which worries me a little bit because he's important to them. But
less important there.
Yeah, Etihad.
I think there it's going to be about the midfield contest. And I think in the midfield that Collingwood should still hold sway. So Ed Richards is Ronnie Richards' grandson.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so and Ronnie, of course, was Louis DeLippe's brother. There was a big rumour before the draft last year that Collingwood were going to swoop and that Eddie was setting aside all recruiting talk and was going to make them take Ed Richards. And it wouldn't have been a bad pick, as it turned out, although
I think
a lot of us were mortified to hear that the president may be derailing the whole recruiting process. But certainly he looks a pretty handy kid.
Yeah, very handy. Gets a lot of the footy, has a good sniff for it, and he looks like he's got a very bright future. Stands out too with that flaming red hair.
It's not just your average ranger.
No.
Type, is it? It's a very deep sort of, very deep, healthy, rustic red.
Oh, it's very rustic. Been out in the rain a long time. He's a good player. So are we both going with the Pies?
We're going with the Pies.
On to Saturday, Richmond v St Kilda at the MCG. Tigers, Saints showed a little bit last week. Nunes, someone's kicked multiple goals, which was great. Nunes kicked four, but look, I can't make a case for them yet. Membry's kicked 6-15 this year, so if he improves on that, they might be half a sniff. But you'd expect the Tigers, he'll be a little sore. I'd be interested to see how Jack pulls up. I'd expect them to bounce back this week. Saints would want to be thereabouts at three-quarter time because they've won six of nine last quarters by plenty, Richmond this year. So going beautifully at the MCG, Richmond for me.
Yeah, this will be for Richmond. This will be about re-establishing their method and their brand, I reckon. So don't be surprised if it takes them a while to get on top, because it will definitely all be about the process.
Yeah, only had one quarter of it last week, didn't they?
That's
there was
right.
Three quarters yep. without it last yep. week. So,
And when you've been going as strongly as they have been, and then you get you have a hiccup, they'll be completely about trying to re-establish that mojo, which gives St Kilda a chance, I think, to get their foot in the door and hang in there for a fair while. But I'm with you. I think eventually Richmond will just roll over the top of them.
Brisbane v Sydney at the Gabba. This game, I'm picking Sydney, but this is a danger game for the Swans. Brisbane broke a hoodoo that had gone back to 2008 against Hawthorn last week.
Yep.
Now they've lost their last 10 against the Swans, which is understandable. Sydney have been up and about. Brisbane have not so much. So they have. There is that record there, but lot to like about Brisbane. A lot to like through the middle last week. Hipwood's kicked his four. You know, they'll provide some real challenge for Sydney this week. Buddy kicked eight the last time they played too, so Harris Andrews have his work cut out for him. I'm picking Sydney, but I reckon it'll be a bit of an arm wrestle this one.
Yeah, Gabba?
Yes, it is.
So at the Gabba, Brisbane are going to be a challenge now, aren't they?
Yep.
They tested Collingwood fully there a couple of weeks ago. They
smashed my boys. Smashed them in the second half.
So they'll be a challenge for most teams at the Gabba. But I think you need strong evidence to tip against the Swans in any game. And we have just weak circumstantial evidence here, Glenn.
And Jake Lloyd, 41 touches last week, going very nicely. Geelong v Carlton at GMHBA. Now, look, we're promised from little Gaz it's going to be a special game. After his shocker last week, he's told the coach and he's told us, this is going to be a special game. I will bounce back. So I'll be interested to see how he goes. I suspect this is the game to do it against a Carlton that's coming off a 100-point. Like, they can bark as much as they like, but it's still a 100-point thrashing. Yes, they do have to stand up and show something this week, but it takes a long time to erase a 100-point loss, in my opinion. I'm told it's their first game down the road since 1997.
And that probably tells you how far Carlton has fallen in the pecking order of the big Melbourne clubs, doesn't it? Because really, the big Melbourne clubs, Geelong would tend to play up the road at the MCG,
yep.
or at the very least at Etihad come Marvel Stadium.
Yep.
The fact that Carlton is going down the road to play them probably tells you that Carlton has slid a long way.
Yeah. So if you haven't been there since 1997, I've lived in Geelong for 8 years. So if you get lost, if you turn anywhere when you get, don't turn left as you hit Geelong. You'll be in Nor Lane. You don't want to be there. Go straight. Go straight. Make sure you get to Cardinia. On to GWS v Essendon.
Before we go on from there,
yep.
It is a big game for little Gazza.
Yeah, it is.
Because I think a few of us are starting to think his best has gone by him. And if you want to get up and going, this is a game where you could get up and going, isn't it? There'll be a fair bit of ball going your team's way. And he could get on the end of a few and get his touch back and get his confidence back. But
I think he is a spent force in the midfield.
Yep.
I think he can still play a role in the forward line. He's going to have to be parked there pretty well permanently, though, and I'm not sure if that's to his liking. I'm not sure if the rewards are being reaped by Geelong so far this year or will be.
I agree. I don't see this being a great payoff for Geelong. I think that if they do succeed this year, it won't be because Gary Ablett came home.
Oh, yeah, fair comment. I'd agree with that. GWS v Essendon, Spotless Stadium. Now, I'm told Kelly's back. I certainly hope so, because they're going to need it. They lost their last three GWS, so lose this one, and you're starting to look at it's a real struggle here to make the eight. As I've said before, I think Leon Cameron, to me, is the coach under the most pressure, more even than Alan Richardson, in my opinion, at the moment.
They're the club under the most pressure.
Yeah.
Because the injury epidemic has lingered for too long, and when you look at how these clubs are set up, both Gold Coast and GWS, both clubs have had massive injury problems. So then the question starts to be asked, you know, why do they have so many injuries? Are they getting their strength and conditioning wrong? Are their players not strong enough? Are they not flexible enough? Are they not durable enough? Particularly in the case of GWS, where there appears to be some soft tissue issues. Obviously, Matty DeBoer went down a couple of weeks ago. Josh Kelly's had groin issues.
He's missed Toby Green.
Toby Green's a big key to them, no doubt about that.
Are we being a bit harsh, or am I being a bit harsh, given they've made two prelims in a row?
Well, we expect so much.
Yeah.
Don't we? And but the other thing I want to see, Quarters, I want to see method.
Yeah, there is none. There's no brand. If you ask to define GWS, to me it's blokes going out in the field and having a kick.
Yeah, exactly. Young blokes expressing their talent. Mm. That's pretty much what their brand is.
Mm.
And I think it's got to be more than that.
Yeah,
I think they should have evolved. After that first preliminary final loss to the Bulldogs, I think they should have developed a hardness and a hunger which took them beyond this brilliant young team expressing their talent. That there should have been more of a method on show last year, and if anything, they were treading water, maybe sliding a little bit backwards, and I think they've slid in a little bit further backwards this year, with the injuries obviously a big factor in that.
I'd like to see Jeremy Cameron put his hand up too. He's been struggling a little bit. So it's the Devon Smith Cup this week. Devon Smith playing his first game against his old mob Spotless.
He might lay 20 tackles just to celebrate.
I reckon he's going to get booed by about the 15 people who are there, mate, to be honest.
He'll be cheered by more Essendon people than booed by GWS.
I think he will be. So, look, I'm picking GWS here, but I tell you, Essendon was red hot last week. They were really, really impressive. Full credit to them, but... it's not enough to do it 1 week on the back of a horror run when you're challenged, when your coach is under pressure. It's not enough. I want to see this happen week after week. If you stand for anything, you have to execute that sort of pressure, which was intense last week in that first quarter. It was as good as we've seen this year, if not the best, most pressure we have seen this year in that first quarter. So they've got to maintain that.
So this is one of those games where you don't really know what you're going to get from either team,
do
you? Because GWS have been poor. We expect them to be better, particularly if Josh Kelly comes back. But, you know, expecting and actually having them do it are two different things. Essendon were fantastic last week, but until they start stringing games like that back to back to back, you can't really trust them. I'm going to go with GWS because it's their home ground and they have to... This is a stand-up-and-be-counted game, I think, for GWS.
Yep, I'm the same. On to Sunday and a couple of big games locally. Hawthorn v West Coast at Etihad Stadium. Eagles going for 9 in a row. I can't believe I'm saying that, given where we had them pre-season, which would equal, I think, 1991 was the last time they achieved that, and we know what happened after 1991.
I reckon they won a few in a row in 96.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was 9, but anyway, it's in that ballpark, and you know. So I think... Look, I'm picking the Eagles in this game. Hawthorn, if it was at the G, I might think differently. Hawthorn forward line was a mess last week. So the ball's getting in there enough. It's just what they're doing with it. You know when Hawthorn looked okay last week? It was late in the game when Roughhead went to full back. Now, this is not a slight on Jared Roughhead. He's been a remarkable player and he's among the best six last week. But he's been at the coalface for so long, and right now he is the focal forward. Mm. And I just think if they're struggling a bit in this game, the Hawks, wouldn't mind seeing him go back just to see what happens there. Could be a really good move. Could be one of those great moves. Just food for thought there. Averaging 90 points a game. Eagles, coming off some fantastic form. We'd like to see them... It's going to be an interesting game, given they've beaten the Yardstick by plenty last week.
Yep.
They're away from home. It's Etihad. If they were going to play the Hawthorn anywhere, away from home, it's your best of three options. It's a better option than the G. It's a better option than Tassie. It's the place to play Hawthorn, is it, Etihad?
It's definitely a better option than Tassie, because the Hawks very rarely, if ever, lose in Tassie. The Eagles go all right at Etihad Stadium.
And Hawthorn doesn't.
Yeah. Hawthorn struggles to spread opponents out enough to kick through the pressure. Mind you, West Coast is gravitating to that sort of style of game too.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting test of the styles of both the clubs. I'm going to tip West Coast with some trepidation. I think Hawthorn, you'll get a response out of Hawthorn. I think Hawthorn is still a good team.
Yeah, I agree.
They're not as good.
6th to 10th, mate. That's where I had them pre-season. It hasn't changed, I think. And that's a big... That's where they're going to finish.
Yeah.
At the moment, looks like they're more likely to be towards the 10th.
Yep.
But you wouldn't surprise them to see them just slip into the 8th.
I think just... You've got to respect West Coast form.
Oh, absolutely.
And so... When they're on the sort of roll they're on, then I think you've got to respect that and tip that. So I'll be going with West Coast.
Interesting for Hawthorn, there's talk of Seglar coming in. So he injured his knee the same night as Nat Nui injured his knee.
That's right.
Really important to Hawthorn. And Ben McAvoy's done a sensational job shouldering largely on his own for 18 months. Segler will really, really help Hawthorn if he plays this week, and certainly going forward. He was very good in the VFL last week, so that would be a big in for them. I'm told Frawley is definitely playing, so he comes in for Caden Brand. So thankfully.
So if Frawley plays...
O'Meara plays.
Does the fact that they've got Kennedy and Darling, you talked about Roughhead going back, does that influence you in any way?
Yeah, it does. Yes, it does. I want to start as normal, and then I want to see where we are at quarter time and go from there. But I would err on that side. Look, Caden Brand may get a reprieve because of those circumstances, but I don't think so on last week's game.
Yeah.
I'm picking West Coast. I think the way on form, 3 to 4 goals. I think West Coast win this game. Melbourne v Adelaide at Traeger Park. Melbourne going along beautifully. Adelaide, for mine, one of the teams that can win the flag. And I've got Melbourne just outside that block. I know you've certainly got them as a chance. Good to see Eddie Betts get some form in the wet last week. 1 from 4 at Traeger Park, Melbourne. So they're not great in Alice Springs. But this is a different Melbourne side with a forward line. You look at that forward line, Melksham kicked 5 last week, McDonald, Hogan, Neil Bullen. This is a forward line that you don't want to play against as a defensive unit.
And the Crows are vulnerable, aren't they?
Yep.
I think Adelaide will make a big run at this in the back half of the year, but right now they're just trying to cover up, win the ones they should win, try and sneak a couple of others, trying to leave themselves close enough to take some sort of pitch at the top four in the back half of the season. If they do that, then they are still a contender, but they've got to get players right in the meantime. Melbourne will put the stronger team on the park quarters and at a neutral venue.
Yep.
That tells you they should win the game.
Yep, and I reckon there'll be a lot of bruised, sore shoulders and corkies because these are the two best contested teams in the comp. So yeah, there'll be a lot of hard at it contests in this game. I'm going for Melbourne as
Melbourne,
well.
Melbourne, yeah, me too.
Finally, Freo v North Melbourne at Optus Stadium. Mate, I have been all over the place like a coconut picker in a Fijian cyclone. I don't know where I am, mate, with this. I've oscillated.
That's a good analogy, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Did you make that one up as you went along?
Quartermain original, yes, mate. interesting the talk coming out of Freo this week with, you know, we're only one game behind North, and everyone's talking North up. It's a really interesting talk coming out of Freo this week. I went Freo, turned to North. Now I'm back on Freo. Now, the reason I went to North is I had a look at their forward line. You look at Waite, you look at Brown, you look at Zeeble, Mason Wood, and I thought, oh, gee, crikey. But then I looked at form at Optus, and I looked at the venue, and I'm 96th they average air there and 40-odd away. Mm. And they do play the venue well.
Yep.
And I'm just thinking North's travelling. So I'm back on Freo. I know there are, I think, is Fife okay?
At this stage, we didn't see him at training yesterday. So... I would think they're trying to get him through to a point where they can rest him. This is not the game they'd want to rest him. They'll want to protect their home ground for...
Absolutely.
Keep playing well in front of your fans. That's a big thing for them. Everyone's knocking them for their form on the road, but you go with what you've got, and what they've got is strong home form at the moment, and if they can do that and then start to pinch a couple of winnable games away late in the season, then you never know. They could get to that 10, 11, 12 wins that puts you, you know, just...
On the cusp of the eight.
On the cusp of the eight.
The other question mark is Michael Walters. A little bit of an asterisk there, perhaps with a sore knee.
So I am assured by Fremantle. Now, Michael went down at training after we were ushered out yesterday, so we didn't actually see the incident. I was telephoned by a punter who saw it happen, said it didn't look great, but I'm assured that it was a knock to the knee, not related to the injury.
So is the other knee or the same knee?
No, I think it's the same knee, but I think it's a knock rather than anything structural, according to them. So they expect him to train tomorrow, and they are very optimistic that he'll be in the team, which means he won't be named this afternoon.
The other really interesting player for their structure is Hamling after that big wacky cop from Buddy last week.
So Joel Hamling was on the exercise bike yesterday, didn't do a lot. And if he misses out, the interesting thing will be his good mate Shane Kirsten may come in as a defender.
Who's been playing well in defence in the Waffle.
Yeah, so that would be an interesting side. Like, they seem pretty optimistic that Hamling will get up. And obviously the other one is Stephen Hill, still battling that quad injury. Stephen Hill... is not training a lot. And you can see that, you know how they get that slightly heavier look about them, footballers, when they're not able to do the full amount of training?
Yes.
Right now, Stephen Hill has that look about him. And you would never imagine Stephen Hill to ever look heavy, but he certainly looks bigger than he normally does. So I suspect he's had a calf issue, he's had a quad injury. There may be another underlying issue with Stephen Hill as well that's preventing him from doing all the training.
So I'm going for Freo with massive trepidation here. So if anyone wants a good punt, I've gone from Freo to North back to Freo. So that means North's going to win, I can tell you. So have a punt. But Freo for mine.
Yeah, I'm going to stay with Fremantle. Yep. I think you've got to respect their home form. They've stood up well. They've been threatened a couple of times, and they certainly got a bit wobbly against St Kilda the last time. I'm hoping the team they put on the deck, and this one will be slightly stronger than that. And I'm certainly hoping they will finish better, because they certainly butchered their chances yep. to get a toehold against Sydney last week at the SCG.
Yeah, I'd agree. I'm definitely going with Freo.
Are you still in good tipping form?
I had 7 last week, so I was – look, I'm happy with that. There were 2 major upsets, so I didn't have either of them, obviously.
I got them wrong?
Yeah, so I had 7. Look, I'll take 7 at this time of year.
Okay. I think I was 1 less than you, so
– okay.
I'm definitely dragging my feet in the tipping stakes. We hope your team is going well. We hope your tipping is going well. Thank you for joining us this morning, brought to you by TabTouch. Quarters and I will be back on Tuesday morning to review the week, to talk about all the big topics, and to try and guide you into the next round.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by TabTouch.